Here's the news in 60 seconds from yumadailynews.com. According to the FAA, corrupted files have been the cause of thousands of flight delays. The world's largest flight outage affected airports nationwide. Sky Harbor in Phoenix was one of them, causing the airport to cancel numerous flights. Officials say the affected system sends virtual information to pilots and air traffic controllers. Arizona State Superintendent for Public Instruction, Tom Horn, says he wants bipartisan effort to improve education in Arizona. But his views on discipline, social emotional learning, and racial issues in school are so far to the right that finding a middle ground with Democratic lawmakers and Governor Katie Hobbs will prove challenging. An ex-cop in Maricopa County has been accused of trying to bring fentanyl and meth into a jail. The former cop is arrested and charged with three felonies. An inmate allegedly convinced the cop to bring the contraband inside. The case is still under investigation. If you have ideas for a local story, you could always send us an email. That email is newsroom@yumadailynews.com. Go ahead and send us your story and we'll take a look. That's news for now. I'm Kendra White.
The weather across much of the country fairly quiet unless you live along the East Coast or the West Coast. That's where the two storm systems are to start off our weekend. Fortunately for us, high pressure will continue to keep us dry until Monday. A mix of sun and clouds today, 74. Tomorrow's cloudy, dry, 71. Sunday, cloudy, breezy, and a little bit cooler, 68. Monday, with some scattered showers, 64, the high. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey, good morning, Yuma. Derek Agerberg here with Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Russ, good morning.
Good morning, bud.
And I appreciate. Well, you know what? You let me warm up a little bit. Been in the studio for about 20 minutes now that you unlocked the door, so we're good. It's going to be a great year, I feel.
I think it's going to be a painful year, but I think it's going to be one of rebuilding. It's not going to, you know, we haven't been through the pain yet.
We haven't been through some of the pain, but I'm going to call this a re-year. It's refocus, reset, recommit to a vision, replan. This is the year that, okay, we can get some things squared away. And it's not unlike, you know, you reminded me walking in the door when you had it locked. Okay, I know you really didn't recommit to securing the building.
No.
But there's certain things that we need to relook at as consumers. And, you know, from a non-political perspective, what did the January 6th committee do to 2,000 plus Americans? What did they release?
How dare you be non-political?
I'm just saying, I don't care. This is not a political statement at this moment. It will be later.
We've incarcerated.
No. I'm talking about in the reports, what did they just release on 2,000 Americans on accident?
Oh, Social Security numbers.
So you have...
But it wasn't by accident, was it? It was all Trump people and...
Isn't that interesting that, but you have, this is why we have to pay attention to our own security when it comes to our credit and persona, if you will, because they had no intent to be on a report. They had no intent to say, I'm going to opt into this system. And yet the federal government just said, hey, here's 2,000 names and Social Security numbers. Mm-hmm. And they did admit that most of them were unredacted. So, and which is why the governor is now putting up a fight. But let's talk about what we need to do. What do we need to do to make sure our credit is done? Now, there's securing and there's watching and then there's just getting off a bunch of lists. So the first one, and I want you to write down three of these, but you've done one of them. The first one is donotcall.gov.
I've done that one.
That one is if you hate the spammy phone calls, the randomness, the spoofed phone numbers from our local area. I mean, how many times do you get a 928 area code and you're like, oh, I wonder who this is? And then you answer it and it's some telemarketer in India or whatever.
Now, donotcall.gov, is that for landlines or is that for land and mobile?
Well, that's the interesting thing. It is supposed to be for both.
Okay.
And it doesn't seem to work as effectively for me on my cell phone. So that's one that I don't know how they keep getting around it unless they just keep spoofing other numbers and they know they're only going to get caught, you know, 10 years from now. But do the donotcall.gov, get on there, register your cell phones, register your landlines. If you're as old as Russ and you still have a flip phone or a pager, you can register those numbers as well. But get off of those spammy phone calls that are people just trying to sell you something.
Yeah.
It's okay to walk in and say, look, I want to be sold. You know, it's the old adage. Somebody doesn't walk on a used car lot unless they really want to buy a car.
Mm.
So, you know, if you're going into a store, sure, get sold something. But you don't need to have random people just calling you saying, hey, you don't know me. You haven't even asked for anything, but I want to sell you something. Now, where do a lot of these phone calls stem from?
Oh, overseas, you mean?
Well, that's where they're coming from, but I guess the triggering point...
Oh, where do they get the numbers?
...is a lot of times it's action that we do. And so there is a opt-out process, and here's the big one that everybody needs to do. If you wrote down the website optoutprescreen.com, and again, that's optoutprescreen.com. If you guys want any of these, I'm happy to email them to you. You can call my office, which is 928-247-9089, and I will give you all of these. Happy to have a conversation. But the opt-out pre-screen is one thing that it is legal. I don't believe it's moral and ethical what the credit bureaus do. They take our information. So they are the repository of all of our personal credit information. And when I do something, they then turn around and sell it to somebody else. So let's say, Russ, you owned a credit card company, right?
Okay.
Okay. Now, I as a consumer go to you and say, Russ, I want a credit card. And you run my credit card, my history, you get a credit score, and it shows that I've done an inquiry for a credit card. Now, the credit bureaus, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax, will now say, oh, Russ Clark, the owner of a credit card company, just ran credit on Mr. Eggeberg. We're going to take Mr. Eggeberg's information and sell it to 72 other companies.
Awesome.
To see if they can then take that customer from Russ and make money on it 72 different ways, and whoever gets it, gets it.
And they don't even tell you that.
They don't tell you that, but that's what they do. That's what a trigger lead is. So number one, is that moral and ethical to you, Russ, the owner of a company, that you paid for that credit report, but the person that sold it to you then is going to go behind your back and sell it to 72 other companies?
I don't think so, but...
So I don't believe so either. I don't think it's moral. I don't think it's ethical, but it sure is legal. And that's what the credit bureaus do, is they sell trigger leads. They sell it to auto finance companies, credit card companies, mortgage companies, consumer... debt consolidation companies, they will even sell it to insurance companies. Did you know that?
Why would they care, the insurance companies?
Well, because insurance companies give you policies based on your risk. So they do a soft pull. So let's say, Russ, you have a 800 credit score and I have a 400 credit score. Whose insurance policy will be cheaper?
Mine, 800 credit scores. I'm a responsible human being.
Oh, so credit score in the insurance company's eyes denotes responsibility. Maybe you have a little bit more care and control of your environment, so your insurance policies will be less. So the trigger leads don't just affect a credit card. They don't just affect a mortgage. They don't just affect a car. It's lots of things. So if you go to optoutprescreen.com, you can do that two ways. Now, Russ, you did this, I don't know, a couple of months ago here in studio. How long did it take you?
Oh, and I just did something right now, too, while I was talking to you, but a minute, maybe?
Okay, so 2 minutes, you went to opt-out pre-screen, and you said, please do not sell my information for the next 5 years.
And they said, okay.
So when you do it digitally, you can do it on your mobile phone, you can do it on a computer. Electronically, you can do it for up to 5 years, and you can keep doing that every 5 years. You can permanently do it by writing a letter and sending things in writing, which is weird to me.
Snail mail is better.
But you can opt out permanently by putting it in writing, and there's some things they tell you to do on the website. And then if you ever wanted to get off of that, you can turn around and write them and prove who you are to undo it. Now, the electronic one, you could turn that off electronically, but why would you want to? Why would you ever want to say, oh, yes, credit bureaus, please sell my information. Please let me be spammed
and
to death.
And let me start going through that. And I hate going through that stuff. I just did another round of it, eliminating spam from my life by, you know, unregister. And it's a nonsense. It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I get so clogged up with garbage, I can't get the emails that are important to me.
Which is why a lot of people have 2 and 3 email boxes, which is silly. It's sad. But yeah, and you got to opt out and unsubscribe from those. But the opt-out pre-screen stops the credit card credit bureau companies from selling your information and making money off of it when you basically put your hand up and say, I'm going to do something. So there's really not a lot to sell until you go do something. So Russ, you go down the street and you apply for that department store credit card. Do you think you're going to get a whole bunch of other offers had you not opted out?
Of course.
Yeah. Now, what happens to car companies? You go on the lot, the finance director runs your credit, they start putting things together, and all of a sudden, bang, you start getting phone calls and emails and texts from all kinds of companies all over the place.
Yeah. You know, I recently bought an electric bike. Right afterwards, I started getting all these advertisements like, our bike's better, our bike's better, our bike's better. You know, all that stuff. It goes on. That's part of the marketing. You know, I just went to the do not call registry, which I'd already done under this phone number, just to verify that it's still on the list.
What'd it say?
It said, thank you for registering your phone. It didn't say I was already on. It says you successfully registered your phone number ending, 0304 on September 15th, 2005.
So you haven't done it in...
Yeah,
a long time
since 2005.
Okay,
but it was already done. But then it says thank you for registering. Does that mean they re-registered or it was already registered? I don't know. But I still get crap calls.
Yeah,
but it also says most telemarketers will be required to stop calling you 31 days from your registration date.
And here's,
what's most mean?
Well, here's the problem. It's the same as and this is a interesting cultural question for us. We have laws that say do not kill, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then do we need gun laws to do other things because we already have a law that says do not kill? Now, whether you're on one side or the other for a gun, two laws saying the same thing really don't change things.
No, it doesn't.
So when you say the do not call registry, going back to that, look, what a creditor is required to do, or somebody who's going to sell, they're supposed to go get the list and cross-check their marketing list and subtract everybody that's on their list. Now, if you're spamming and you don't care, you're not going to follow the law anyway.
Well, a lot of those guys just call numbers. They don't even know who's on the other
end.
They
just call numbers, and they're just running through these bots that ghost the phone number. So if you went back to that 928 ghosted phone number, how do you know who it really was?
You don't.
Okay, so the guys that aren't going to follow that do not call registry anyway are not going to, but it will stop most, not all, is what I think they're trying to say.
And a ghost number, I don't know how there's some easy way to do it because a lot of people do it. You can call somebody, but rather than displaying the number that you're actually using, they can display any number they choose.
Yeah, there's simple apps you could download. I could ghost your phone number. I could call you from your own number.
I've had that happen.
I mean, your fact checker probably should do it all the time and call you with your own number just to be funny.
He's got his own problems.
So those are the easy two that within 3 minutes you could do the donotcall.gov. Within 3 to 5 minutes you could do optoutprescreen.com. Both of those will stop unwanted sales. Now, how do you start protecting your credit? The people that just had their social security numbers released from the federal government, all the credit bureaus say, oh, we're going to put an extra watch on your credit report. No, you wanted to go do a credit freeze. What's a credit freeze, Russ?
That's where that you could freeze your credit where you can't do it yourself either. You have to unfreeze it and to use your credit yourself even. It locks everything up. Which, if you're not using it, then...
Freeze it. What's the point?
It doesn't hurt anything.
No.
You can always unfreeze it.
And it takes less than 5 minutes once you get them on the phone. I mean, you may have to be in a hold queue for an hour to get them, but you can unfreeze your credit at will, and then you can turn around and freeze it at will. And I would tell everybody, go freeze your credit, because what it does is, as a lender like myself, if I ran your credit, Russ, and yours was frozen, I would get a little error that says, please contact borrower. This borrower's credit has been frozen, and nothing gets released to me. Yeah. Now, the issue is, if you don't lock all three, because as a mortgage company, we have to pull what's called a tri-merged credit report, I'm going to pull all three bureaus. So if you've only locked one, I still get the data from two. I can still kind of see what's going on. So if you freeze your credit, then if somebody happens to, if you have all three frozen and somebody tries to use your credit to open up a new trade line somewhere else, that company, that legitimate company that's trying to issue credit, won't be able to, because they won't be able to see the person's credit that is fraudulently being used. But if you only have one or two frozen, then you could still have things pop up. So a mortgage company has to pull all three. Does a car company have to pull all three credit bureaus?
No.
No. Does a credit card company have to pull all three bureaus?
No.
No.
They okay. don't. They can. They have their favorites.
So, in your opinion, do you think more people fraudulently go get mortgages with stolen credit, or do you think more people go get bogus credit cards with fraudulent social security numbers?
I have no idea. I'd say credit cards.
Yeah, because it's liquid and it's easy. So you're in and you're out. So if you don't go freeze all three bureaus, you're missing the point of what a freeze is. So here's how you freeze it. You get to call or send written information to all three of the credit bureaus. So you can Google search freeze my credit, and you'll find all the phone numbers right there. Again, if you really wanted to, you can call my office and I'll email you this stuff. But if you just Google search freeze my credit, they will give you the phone numbers for Experian, for TransUnion, and Equifax.
And do you find most of them are calls?
Uh-huh.
They are.
Mm-hmm. And
people want to answer the phone. They do.
The credit bureaus?
Yeah.
Well, they legally have to.
Oh.
They're required to have people there to help, because they're housing your data and my data, and there are some government regulations of what they do and don't have to do. You can also mail them. So you're going to need to have proof of your social security number, proof or your date of birth. You're going to have your address.
How do you have proof of your social security? I mean, just tell them what it is.
Okay. I mean, you're going to have those things. If there's a question of who you are, which generally there's not, then they instruct you to step it up and you have to mail things in with a written letter and copies of your documents. But most of the time over the phone, or even just say it over the phone, social security number, birth date, current address. You're going to have a copy of your ID, because they're going to ask you for your ID numbers, whether it's your driver's license, your passport number. And generally, the next step up is you're going to have a copy of like a utility bill or something that shows that's really who you are, with your name and that address, if you have to start doing things in writing. But the three things that I really want everybody to do is, let's refocus on the security, and let's repurpose scaling back some of these nuisance phone calls and nuisance texts and emails. Why are we inundated with marketing spam and crap? Because it works.
Yeah, because they can send out 1,000 for no money, and even if two work,
and that's the point. Bother.
And they annoy the other 998.
You know, I want to have really good relationships with customers. Yeah. I don't want to be spammy with people. I know in your business, you're relationship based. You're not spammy with marketing.
No.
Why do we allow ourselves as consumers to be put on lists that are for sale and let other companies make money off of our personal information?
Because we're not paying attention.
Because we're not paying attention, and nobody's telling us this stuff. Yeah. Nobody says, hey, a trigger lead that these companies are purchasing are making the credit bureaus hundreds of millions of dollars per year. Now, I'm not about anybody having an honest business model, but if you told me up front, hey, Derek, we're going to be the repository for your information. We just want you to know we're going to keep spamming and selling your information for lots of money over your entire lifetime.
They don't do that, do they?
Nope. I've never seen that. Now, I've seen all of the, you know, when you sign up for a credit card, you get like the 15-page booklet that's on like 6-point font that you just can't read, and nobody ever reads that booklet anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. The credit card companies are going to tell you all kinds of crazy things, but the credit bureaus never tell me what they're going to do with my data. and how many times they're going to release it. Now, go back. That January 6th committee that released the 2,000 Social Security numbers, what do you do with the Social Security number unless you're actually peeking under the hood? You know, it's like any guy who goes on the lot for a used car. You look under the hood just to see if the engine's clean and it looks like it's in good condition.
Right.
Do you and I believe they did a soft pull on their credit to take a peek and see if there was anything else nefarious going on?
Of course, don't they?
Why else would they have their Social Security numbers? I want my credit frozen beyond a shadow of a doubt. I don't want anybody looking at anything. And yes, there's evil, dastardly people out there that are going to work on getting that stuff anyway. But if I have my credit frozen and I've opted out of all the spammy stuff and I'm on the do not call registry, have I not simplified and more securitized my financial life?
Of course.
That's my number one thing this year is everybody I talk to needs to be do not call, opt out, pre-screen, freeze your credit. And you know what? Nobody cares if their credit is frozen until they need to go buy something else. Truthfully, we've gone from a society that says, oh, Russ, I went fishing and I caught a fish this big, and everybody puts their hands wider, and then you turn around and go, oh my gosh, Derek, that's great, but I went out to Martinez Lake this weekend and I caught one this big, and all of a sudden it's a little bigger. The new fishing analogy is your credit.
Yes.
Oh, my credit is 740. What's yours, Russ? Oh, mine's 759. And it's the bigger fish story in credit.
But having a good credit score is good.
Agreed. Agreed 100%.
Yeah.
But I don't need anybody looking at it. And
no.
I don't need anybody accessing it.
No.
And I don't need anybody selling it. I just need to be able to use my credit when I need my credit. So if you are a restaurateur, if you're a small business owner, if you have any kind of company, how often do you go apply for new credit?
Rarely? God, rarely.
Okay. So if you're a consumer and you have two or three credit cards and you've got your auto loan and you've got a house, how often are you going to go apply for new credit?
Rarely? I mean, years I don't apply.
Cool.
Why would I?
But that's the point. Why do so many people fear? And I've actually had people say, well, you know, I really don't want to freeze my credit because then I have to go through the process of unfreezing it.
But that's not a hard process.
No. When was the last time you used your credit? You're sitting down with me and I'm giving you the advice to do it. Well, man, it's been 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. You haven't had to do it in 3 or 4 years. What is the fear? And we make a process work that most people don't want to do a little extra work. And then they fear the double work of having to pull it back. No, super simple. Come on, guys. If Russ Clark can do it here in studio, we all can do it.
I've actually done quite a bit while you've been talking. I mean, I've been on the donotcall.gov to verify I was on there, and I've been on since 2005. I've looked at the opt-out
pre-screen.com.
Yeah, but I've already done that, so it's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done the freeze my credit yet, but I went through.
Well, here, see, I'm handing this paper to Russ across the way. He's going to make 3 phone calls off air at some point,
yeah,
and we'll have some fun.
Yeah.
And I know, Russ, if you do those things, you're going to be more secure this year. You'll be less inundated with spam or phone calls, and you're going to set it and forget it. It's kind of like,
yeah, I don't need all that crap.
No. What's the pros and cons? Pro is you more safely lock your credit in a box.
And when was the last time you bought something because you got a strange phone call from somebody that guarantees you it's a good deal, buy it?
Let me think. Never.
Never. I will never buy.
And yet they do it because you know they're making
yes,
big
but
sums.
Take me off because you're not doing yourself any good. You're just wasting your time.
Right. And so, look, I know it's a business model. I know people are going to do it. And I need to help educate people so they don't get suckered into some of these things. Get on the do not call list. Get on the opt-out pre-screen list.
You need to get on break.
Hey, well, I was leading you down that path. So this is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113, Arizona BK 0904081, LO number 0915245.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage, NMLS number 180899, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113, Arizona BK 0904081, LO number 0915245.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they believe they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com and find out why investors switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Good morning. Happy Friday. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU 830 on really what's going to be a gorgeous next 5 or 6 days. I love it when it's cloudy. I love it when it's overcast.
You don't get a lot of that in Yuma, but you got it now.
Exactly. So for the next, 4 or 5 days, it's going to be amazing. So can't wait. What was released statistically this last week? Big numbers, everything everybody talks about now. It's the news story. Inflation.
Oh, inflation! I'm trying to figure out. There's so many.
There's so many.
Inflation numbers, and it's amazing how they try to hide or spin or say we're not really in a recession, and it's just nuts. So
If you ever need to change the narrative, you just move the goalposts. So in football, wouldn't it be a great game if the goalposts were able to be slid to the left and right at will?
Not what I would watch.
Well, I think, but there was a video game that we used to play that was like that the goalposts would move. I think it was called Cyberball. Do you remember that one?
Nope. Okay. But it's good it was a game and not reality.
It was a game, but the Bureau of Labor and Statistics publishes everything every month on all of the inflation numbers. And you and I had gone through and we looked at cereal and milk and cookies and all that stuff last month. Do you remember that?
Yep.
So if you look at the numbers, the Bureau of Labor and Statistics published that inflation, that December actually dropped 0.1, correct?
No.
On their report.
You say drop 0.1, inflation drop 0.1. In other words, in inflation was 1.1 better than the month before. I mean, it wasn't as bad as the month before by 0.1.
Right.
So no, the inflation number was high. It's just not as high as the month before. And is that an improvement?
Well, what I love about it is you actually know where I'm going with these things. So if you say I'm driving 120 miles an hour from Phoenix to Yuma, the likelihood is I'm going to get pulled over. But if I slow down to 100, does that mean I'm better? Or does that mean I still have a...
But you can tell the police officer, but looks, officer, I dropped 20 miles an hour.
Yeah, I slowed down.
I'm 20 miles an hour less than I was.
So I want to put this in a different perspective for people. Right now, the annualized inflation rate ending December is, and they've rounded it to 6.5, but it's actually 6.454.
Okay.
Okay. Now, that means things are 6.5% worse than they were a year ago. But let's not talk about a one-year snippet. What do you think the year before that was? Because I want to look at
that's the next
years.
Question. 6.5 worse than a year ago, which was already worse than the year before that.
Which was at the annual number that the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, and everybody can go Google search this. This isn't paid for stuff. You can find it right on the government website. The ending December 31st of 2021 was 7.036.
That's why it's only 6, because it's already been jacked up 7.
So let's say 7 plus 6.5.
It's even worse than
I know you're really
six
good
and a half
at math.
Based on the new one, it's more like 14 points or better, but
using,
of 2 years ago.
Using their numbers, 2 years ago, things were 13.5% cheaper. Now, I'm just going to ask, Russ, have you gotten a 13.5% raise here at the station?
I'll double check it, but no.
Okay. Have I gotten a 13.5% raise?
Doubt
Has
it.
Everybody who's listening to this show gotten a 13.5% raise?
And what's worse than that, Derek, is the way that they're figuring inflation, they're not including the things that really count that are much worse than the sixes and the sevens.
Oh, come on. Don't tell me that they're taking out food and energy.
Yeah,
please.
Egg and bacon's not in it.
You know, sadly enough, when you say eggs, good friend of mine is over in Nashville, Tennessee. There's no eggs on the shelf. He was sending me pictures. There's legitimately no eggs anywhere over there.
They've killed all the chickens.
Is it chickens? Is it transportation? Is it transportation costs? Well, I don't know what it is.
They're afraid of the chickens dying, so they're killing them. There's a swine flu thing or something.
No, swine is pig. That's bacon.
Okay.
You're talking about the
bird
flu.
Or some crap that...
Get your flus right.
What they go and they detect it. Now, they don't have any sick birds. They just detected, oh my God, I detect some, kill a million birds.
I go back to 13.5% in 2 years. And you look around and you say, there's some things I got to pay attention to.
But it's more than that, because actually when you go up 7.5%, the 6.5 isn't added to it. You have to take 6.5 of the new number, which is 7.5%, so it's higher.
Yeah.
Than that. Yeah.
And so now think about what that means is if I had
compounds it.
Yeah, if I had $100, that means I've only really got about an $85 purchasing power, just using round numbers. It's not quite accurate. What can we do to make sure that we're making really good decisions? Well, the other part of the, you know, how this year I said we're going to
control
re-look
spending,
at things.
Spending.
Yes.
And there's so many things that can be done. That it never was an issue, so we probably didn't do them.
They say a rising tide floats all boats.
Yeah.
And worse, you never know who's swimming naked till the tide runs out.
Holy crap.
So, you know, I get to see people financially naked. I get to see the tide run out because I get to see credit. And you've heard the saying, a rolling stone gathers no moss.
Right.
Okay. Please, this year, let's look at debt and let's start right now in January. This is not a New Year's resolution. This is a new life resolution of I'm not going to be indebted anymore. Now, would you take the biggest debt or the smallest debt or something in between? Which one do you pay off first? And the answer is you got to look.
Yeah.
Because you may have a small debt that's super easy to pay off, but it's 0% interest, and you may have a medium debt that's high interest that you need to start knocking down
so
first.
You pay off the debt that's going to save you the most money fastest.
The most money the fastest in one of two ways, interest carrying cost or cash out of your pocket to get rid of that payment. So what I see a lot of people do is they go, oh, Derek, I'm so good. I spent $50 extra on my house and I sent $25 extra on my car and I sent $20 extra on all my credit cards. Did it make a difference on anything?
Yeah.
No. But if you took all of that money, let's say you had $200 extra and you had a credit card that was $2,000 in a balance, send the extra $200 to that credit card and get that thing paid off in 10 months.
Yeah, because that's going to be generally your much highest interest, your very highest interest.
Sure.
And it's going to be in $2,000, you know, and you focus on that, you can get that done.
Get that done. And if that's your smallest rock, you push that rock over the hill and that rock bumps into another rock, and I got two rocks rolling down the hill, and those two bump into another one. How do you start an avalanche? It isn't a whole big thing at one time. There's one little pebble up at the top of the mountain that rolls and runs into something else. And all of a sudden this avalanche just happens, but you and I don't pay attention to the small pebble that started it up top. And it might have been one of those birds that you said we're going to kill for the swine flu and the bird flu that landed on top of the mountain that just happened to knock the pebble and go. No. But stop spending $20 on 20 different accounts trying to pay them off. This is the year everybody needs to be laser focused on what that pebble is. Pay the one off. And if it's a 0% interest, okay, then move your money somewhere else. As long as, here's where they get you. How many of the credit cards and offers say zero interest for 12 or 24 months?
They all do.
But if the balance isn't paid for then it's retroactive how much?
All the stuff that you would have paid gets added on. Oh, yeah, they're serious.
So here's the juggling act for me. If I can help people map out which one works, pay off number one first, then what's the roadmap? It's like hopscotch. You got to go one, then two, then three, then four. You don't get all the way across the board until you go all the way down. Well, I know you did because you tried to jump three or four when you were a kid.
Yeah, I'm a cheater.
You just ride your electric bike and skid right through and leave skid marks all the way down that. There's so many easy ways if you just pull out a pencil and a paper and track it. I do a personal family budget. Why do I do my own personal family budget?
To annoy your wife.
Pretty much. And everybody else in my office, everybody else I know, I make everybody in my office do it. I mean, Russ, you and I have talked about this so many times. Sure. You probably do it, except you now have your app called Mint.
It's electronic.
You focus on it.
Yeah.
And if I said, what are your interest carrying costs? If you had balances, I know you would know that number. Most Americans don't know the actual interest rates on their credit cards. They're going to give me a guess or an estimate, but they don't know, oh my gosh, yeah, that one's 19.9%.
I couldn't tell you what mine are.
Oh, he admitted that on air, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so happy right now.
I don't know, but I don't have a balance.
Well, then your carrying cost is zero. But the people who are carrying balances, let's step back for a second. Your credit score is made up of 30% based on how you're using your available credit. Not your credit payment, not your credit history, not the depth. There's lots of other things that move into it. But 30% of your score is literally how much do I owe compared to what my available balance is on my revolving or lines of credit.
Your net worth?
No, that's your net debt. But if you said like you have a $1,000 credit line with your Visa, but you owed a dollar, you're literally nothing. If you owe $999 on that $1,000 trade line, you're maxed. That $900 or $1,000 swing will move your credit score 30 to 40 points. The reason I say that is going back, I just want people to identify those things and know what my balances are on all of those trade lines, because sometimes I'm working to get people out of debt. Sometimes I'm working to get their credit score up, which we pay off first makes a difference. So if you said, Russ, you're not going to buy anything for the next 2 years, then we're going to work on how do we get you out of debt the fastest and how do we make the most financial sense.
Right.
However, if you said, man, I'm going to buy a house in the next 60 days, I need to get my credit score maxed.
You better scramble fast.
I may tell you, no, we're not doing that plan. We've got to pay these balances down, or worse or better, we may move balances around. You may take some balance from one card and move it to another, so your float, if you will, on all cards is less than half, and then your float is less than a third. Lots of things to do, but all of this doesn't matter unless you need something.
Mm-hmm.
None of that matters. So the only thing I really care, because again, I give you the big debt, I'm the mortgage guy, but I want to get people out of debt. I want people to look at their revolving debt and other things. That, do you know some of these auto companies, they're 19 and 20% interest for people with poopy credit?
On cars?
Mm-hmm. Go look up less than perfect credit loans for auto companies. And there are what used to be called subprime lenders for auto companies that you can get a car right after bankruptcy. You can get a car if you have foreclosures
but people go out and buy a new car paying that kind of...
Now, most of the time they're used.
Okay. Well, yeah, used, I would believe it.
But a car has become the status symbol for most Americans.
that where I lost my status.
I don't know. You got your car wrapped out there. I've seen it. That looks really good.
It's 27 years old.
But it's still wrapped, and it looks bougie. And you got those black rims, and it looks mean, and it's got your company logo on it, and it's got your honesty and integrity right on the bottom seat. And think I noticed that. You've got that image that you're a free spirit that can go four-wheeling anytime he wants, and you got the winch on the front. So you still have a status symbol in that vehicle. It just may not be the Cadillac Denali type, you know, Escalade
with the sticker still in the window.
Yeah. you know, like the baseball hat with the price tag sticker still on it. But the Rolling Stone gathers no moss. What can we do collectively to get out of debt? And we talked about this 3-4 weeks ago, the amount of credit card debt that has spiraled out of control. It's the end of Christmas season. This is the month that everybody gets the credit card statement that gives you the pit in the stomach that makes you go
spend as much as you want as long as it's within your budget. That's the key.
Yeah. Well, as long as it is in, meaning you identified it in your budget and you've left money for savings and investing and you have a what if.
Right. And that your budget should have that. But if you could do a serious budget and say, okay, here's what I can spend, stay within it and go. Have yourself a good time, but just don't go, you know, to the point where you're going to hurt yourself.
No. And where it's interesting is we have two things that I see a lot in my industry. It's called food therapy and retail therapy.
Yep.
And when I look at people's bank statements or their credit card or their credit report, you can see shop, 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 shop. Now, did you need those things? Probably not.
It was therapy.
Eat, 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 eat. And therapy. Look, you got to eat and you got to go get stuff. I'm not saying don't do that. But if you see driving to work, you're eating out on the way there. At work, you're eating lunch on the way out. And on the way home, you're eating dinner. Because it's pretty obvious whether you look at people's debit card and bank statements, because we have to see those. Wow, Russ, you ate out 3 times today. And you do that 5 times a week. And you eat out 15 times a week. That can't be cost effective. And I want you to go see some of my friends that own restaurants. I mean, love supporting them. So it's nothing against going out to eat, but is it within the budget? And if I ask people if it's within the budget, it's not. It's never identified that way. You know, there's somebody I know that they would stop at the Circle K and they would get a drink and a chips and buy something that you take a coin and do this sound on, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But they would do that on the way to work, at lunch, and on the way home.
Wow.
Do you need to spend $2 or $5 on those little cards that you got to rub a magic coin on 2 and 3 times a day?
Oh.
Probably not cost effective.
No, and I know they sell a lot of those.
They do.
I don't think I've ever bought one.
I don't know. But that's not a way to fix your budget. That's not a way to get out of debt. That's a way to get into debt, but not out of debt. But as far as starting that pebble, let's pretend you have a mountain of debt. And I hate that analogy, but that's what most people feel like they have. That mountain of debt, we got to start the first pebble running down the mountain. We got to start rolling that first rock to start the avalanche to get rid of the debt. Because in 2023, you and I just identified that everything today is about 13.5% more expensive based on the new formula, right? Not the old formula, based on the new formula. Than a couple of years ago.
Right.
So if things are costing me more, I know I have to either make more or save more. I may as well start getting out of debt and figure out how to do this. But I can start by making sure I have a personal family budget. I can identify which accounts I need to pay off first. I need to know my balance, my payment, and my interest rate. And you just rank them from high to low. Give me the balance, high to low, then put the payment in and the interest rate. And then it's really easy. You don't even need somebody like me to tell you that.
But it's painful to look at. That's why people don't do it. They would rather just hide under a rock and say, if I don't see it, it doesn't exist.
And there is an ostrich theory in this industry, and a lot of people do that. I have to worry about the what ifs. You know, you own an auto company.
Mm-hmm.
What would that take? Let's say that engine in your vehicle blew up. How much would it cost to put a new engine in that vehicle?
It's old, so it'd be just a couple grand. It would be a used engine.
Sure. But you're saying it's still a couple of grand. Yeah. It's a couple $1,000s if your engine blows. Now, how many people do you think actually have enough money saved to protect for that what if?
A very small percentage.
Okay. Now, how often do you need to put tires on that car?
The way I drive, every couple of years.
Okay. What is a set of tires on a vehicle like that cost?
About $800.
Okay. So let's round it to $1,000 with everything that's going to happen.
Oh.
Do you have $1,000 saved for new tires and plan on it every couple of years? Wait a minute. What happens if you own a home and you have a hot water heater blow or an air conditioner go or other things like
that? That's routine.
That's just normal that should be budgeted for.
We don't think about it. I know. I talk to people all the time that, they have car problems. And they say, but we just put a new engine in it a couple of years ago. We shouldn't have any problems. It's a machine, you know. Doesn't mean the water pump's not going to break, or doesn't mean something else doesn't break.
And you say, have you changed the oil in the last couple of years? Most, and they say no.
Most, you'd be surprised how many people don't.
Yeah. Are you symbolizing I need a break over here? I've never actually seen you pull out that many keyboards and mice and other things.
I'm doing something other than breaks. Okay. You know, I'm just, you can take a break anytime you want. You know,
I'm just always a little nervous for everybody's benefit when I'm actually sitting here with Russ and he pulls out keyboards and he's moving his mouse and he's getting after it. It's like, okay, are you trying to tell me I need a break? So I'm not taking a break. Please do two things. Secure your identity and get off the lists. And start focusing on getting your debt paid off this year. Let's put ourselves in a position that when opportunity happens, that we're all in a position to take that opportunity. What I mean by that is there's buying opportunities in every market, whether it's real estate, whether it's financial investing. You know, when Tom comes in and talks about his stuff, there's always things that are way down on sale that are going to go back up in the real estate market. I see people coming from out of town every day. And you and I drive into a neighborhood and go, oh my gosh, $400,000 for that? And the people from out of town come in and go, oh my gosh, only $400,000 for that? And real estate is a local thing that people don't understand, that we're not just local anymore because COVID taught us that you can telecommute and people are moving this way and people want to get out of some of these areas, which is why the sand states, Arizona, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Texas, the sand states are growing considerably. And you see like California, New York, both lost congressional seats. Oh, they're losing population.
Lord, yeah.
And Florida growing leaps and bounds. Yeah. You know, the sunshine states, the sand states. The opportunity for people is still going to be here. So when I hear people go, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to wait till home prices come down. I don't really see that happening. Oh my gosh, I'm going to wait till interest rates fall. I had people when interest rates were 3 were telling me that they were going to wait until interest rates dropped. And I was like, hey, dummy, it's not going to happen.
That one bothered you though.
Well, it does because people don't look at the history.
You want to help them and can't help somebody.
I can lead a horse to water and I can effectively try to help make them thirsty so they want to drink. But, you know, when you say, I'm going to wait until interest rates come down, well, wait a minute. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, because there is something called a refinance. Now, a refinance simply means there's two kinds. There's a cash out and there's a rate and term. A rate and term means I'm just going to simply rearrange the debt that I already own. So if I bought a home and interest rates, like right now, interest rates are in the 6s, you know, bad credit, they could be in the 7s, super good credit on certain programs, they could be in the 5s. I'm not quoting a rate on air right now. I'm just saying they're in the 6s. Google it. But if you said, man, I'm going to go buy the home that I really want and the right one came up and this is where I want my family. Great. If interest rates come down a point in a year, then we refinance and you've got the home, you've lived in it, you've started paying down on the debt, and you get to make the debt cheaper. Where's the negative in that? But you have a group of people who go, I can't buy that home until it comes down.
It's outside their thought process. They haven't been exposed to that.
And that's what I need everybody's help with, is if there's one thing that I internally want to see happen this year, especially from the show and our relationships, is let's help people make better financial decisions. And when you hear people say things like that, challenge them. And it's not a, hey, I'm going to punch you in the face because you're evil and wrong. It's, hey, Russ, why do you think that? Let me help you be a little bit more financially aware, because you could refinance later. If you think interest rates will go down and if that's the home you really like, then buy it. And then if your if is correct, you refinance it and make the debt cheaper. But if your if was wrong and interest rates stay the same or went the wrong way because we screwed up the economy again, then you've already locked up the debt on a plain vanilla 30-year fixed. And I promise you, everybody who bought homes in the last couple of years when interest rates were in the high twos, low threes,
they're feeling thankful.
They're very, very, very thankful. And if you go through the graph, there's a graph, and I'm happy to email that out. 70% of mortgages in this country, actually it's like 71.2, are 4% or under. So 70% of the country figured it out when the market was really good. And those that are above that are either old loans that nobody ever got to refinance, or they're people that had credit issues, or they took some of the down payment assistance programs that the states put you into higher interest rates to get their money back. So not saying it's wrong, but 70% of the people have really good interest rates on their houses. Please, for the love of Pete, don't send extra money to pay that off if you have $1 on credit card, if you have other auto loans that are higher interest rates. Why would you ever advance a 3 or a 4% mortgage over a 20% credit card, over an 8% car, over putting more money in your 401k? I mean, Russ and I, or Tom and I talk about this off air a lot. How many people don't fully fund their 401k when their employer matches or does a half match?
Some don't even do it.
Which, why would you send $50 extra to your house that doesn't help you for 25 years to get the debt paid off, but you might have been able to put that extra $50 in your 401k and have your employer match 50 cents on the dollar, which means it gave you $25, match 100% on the dollar, gave you $50 extra. I mean, there's just some things that I need everybody's help with, because at the end of this year, I want to look back, and Russ, with your help, I want everybody to go, wow, we actually all advanced financially, not as an individual, not as a clique, not as a small group, but this community, because there are going to be communities that have issues around the country. Some of the communities that people are moving out of, some of the communities that inflation is even worse. Now, in housing, we call that appreciation, not inflation. So we love appreciation when you own the asset. We hate inflation when you got to go buy something. But you're smiling.
Same thing, different terminology.
It's the same thing. You know, we celebrate appreciation. Oh, my gosh. I had a guy in my office yesterday. Again, just flew in. He needed to meet late last night. Fine, I'll meet you. So flew in, and he's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe my home's worth $100,000 more than I bought it 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Cool. You know what that means? You bought the home for $150,000 and it's now worth $250,000. You got $100,000. That's about a 66% return on your investment over those 3 years. Now, it's not this way mathematically, but 66 divided by three, that's a 22% appreciation rate if you did it linearly, which it isn't. And he goes, oh my gosh, I made 22% on my money. I said, that's inflation. When you go to sell that, you're going to give somebody else 22% compounded over the 3 years inflation, but you love it because it's appreciation. So paying attention to those things, please don't spend the extra money to pay that mortgage off. Keep it as a rental. Let's go get you into a new home and just smile, because when you get to retirement, you'll be A-okay.
Rental rates are high. So, yeah, it'd be a good time.
Yep. And do you see them coming down anytime soon?
No, because supply and demand wise, finding one is tough.
And you just said
not finding one the right price, just finding one.
And you said the right thing. It's the demand. The supply can only go up if builders build, whether it's homes or apartments or anything else. Yeah. The demand is not going to go down because you have people moving here. And if you look, we talked about this. Thank you for segueing into this. This will be something we'll talk about in the next few weeks. 3 years ago, we said the average age of a first-time home buyer was approaching 31.
Mm-hmm.
People stayed in school longer. They lived at home longer. They were doing things. That 31-year-old, do you know the number one age right now? 34. People are waiting longer. So there's a huge demand of people that are going to buy homes and still want to buy homes, but they need better advice, whether it's how to do the loan, trusting a relationship, somebody who's guiding them. But there's going to be people who are buying homes.
You've got like 40 seconds.
I know. So you know what? I'm so sad that this year's first show this way is running out. However, you know, if you need some advice, if you need some assistance, please, it's not a problem. Call my office. We'll have a cup of coffee. We'll have a cookie. We'll have a good conversation.
Still doing the cookies after New Year's resolutions?
Okay. The three C's, coffee, cookie, and conversations are my motto this year.
Right.
And from all of us at Academy Mortgage, everybody here at KBLU, if you have served or are serving and you protect the freedoms for Russ and I to have these conversations on air, our hats are off to you. And if there's anything we can ever do to you, please let us know. This is Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Have a great weekend, everyone.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.